Today on Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
When God designed the church to make them stand up and say there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male or female. In other words, we all one in Christ Jesus. Now that's equality at its best. Paul the Apostle is writing to the church of Galatia. It's one of his finer epistles. And I want to start reading with verse 26. He's talking about sons and heirs. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Notice that. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So we're more than a creation, we're family. We're more than the serpents, the cherubims, the archangels. We literally have the DNA of God in us because of what Jesus did. That's why he said, be ye therefore imitators of God. Let me read that scripture again, verse 26 of Galatians 3. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Underline that verse of scripture. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Or in other words, the heritage of Abraham belongs to each and every one of you who are born again in Christ. That's spiritual, physical, and financial. I'm going to say to you what I said to the people at the Believers' Convention. All of you ought to be rich. Amen. Somebody should have shouted there. Amen. Why is that not happening? Now, I use that because that's what catches everybody's attention. Money. And you live in an economic world. Jesus said, the poor you're going to have with you always. Why? There's a reason for that also. I believe it's Deuteronomy 15, verse 4. He said, when there's no more poor among you. Heaven has no poverty because it's a curse. You shouldn't have it here in any way, shape, or form, spiritual, physical, and financial. Poverty of spirit is worse than poverty of money. Now, I want you to see something here. So whatever Abraham is what you are. You are the seed of Abraham. And if Abraham was very rich, everybody say very rich, in cattle, silver, and gold, then you should be very rich in substance, material, spiritual, physical, financial, every area of it. This is going to make some people mad, but if you turn this off, you're going to lose what God wants to help you with today. See, the gospel of no difference. There's neither Jew nor Greek. Oh, there's the gospel of democracy. Of the gospel of no difference. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. That's verse 28. There's neither male nor female. Now I'm going to get on that after a while. For you all one in Christ Jesus. Amen. Truthfully stated. And a statement of truth. But was it implied? Was it put forth? Well, in private circles, it was. But not in church circles, even till today. We have separations. So let's go back for a few minutes and realize the world that Paul the Apostle is living in. He's a first century Jew. Some say he was married, some say he wasn't. What made him say what he says? Because see, God records things that people did that were wrong, and some people preach the wrong as right. It was truthfully stated, but not a statement of truth. You see what I'm saying? But he lets you know that they're just like you are, working out their salvation with fear and trembling. So let's find out what kind of world Paul grew up in. Well, he was a student, a teacher. He traveled all the time, but he never had a home. He'd been in many houses. But he never had a house. He was always gone. He was a Pharisee of the tribe of Benjamin. Yet he thought in ways, even before he came to the knowledge of God, that a lot of people did not think of. So he was actually motivated by his environment. And environment will motivate you. So let's talk about the kind of world that Paul was born into. Now watch it. In the Roman world, you either were a citizen of Rome or an enemy. If you were a foreigner, you were considered an enemy. Rome controlled everything through military might and power. And Paul was born in that Roman world. I want you to see this. I'm talking about the gospel of no difference. The gospel of democracy. Call it what you want. No Jew, no Greek, none of that. Look at that. I want to read that verse 28. Neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free. Even though they were Jews, they were Greeks, they were slaves, they were free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. That was the revelation God gave Paul. So Paul, in the Roman world, you either were a citizen of Rome, which he was, or you were an enemy, foreign or whatever. Now, on the other part of the world was the Greek world. Now, the Greeks were classy people. Yet, they watch the world that Paul deals with, and yet the Greek language was used quite often, more than the Hebrew language of that day. In the Greek world, you were artistic, you were philosophical, you were like a Socrates. But in the Greek world, everybody else but the Greeks were barbarians. So you didn't have much of a chance. In the Roman world, you're an enemy. In the Greek world, you're a barbarian. All done by people. That's what Paul is saying, that we're all one in Christ. That was all washed away. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In religion, there was just two sides. There was the Jew, which was God's chosen people, the children of Abraham, and everybody else was Gentile dogs. Notice that. This is the world that he was born in. If you was a Jew, you had it. You were the children of Abraham. You were God's chosen, but everybody else is a dog. Who led the dogs? Gentile. No, you can't get into this world. Notice how tight down people are bound until Paul began to preach the revelation of in Christ. Notice that in religion, one or the other, buddy. All women were inferior. The Jewish woman had a little bit more freedom, but not much. In fact, in the synagogue, they would say, oh, God, thank you, the men, that you did not make me a woman. Who? But he said, male or female, there's neither. So why did Paul say, when a woman come into church, you cover your head and you shut your mouth? He thinks of them. Not in private circles. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself here in a minute, but I'll just say that. He wants to stop a revolution because he adopted women into his work who did great jobs. But you can imagine what the rabbis would have thought about that. But in the church world, he would say, okay, cover your head and shut your mouth. And if you need anything, you ask your husband. And whatever he says, you do. Okay, I'm opening up this can right now. Hang on. Look at these women. Come on, man. Come on. All right. So watch this. And then listen to this. He doesn't really care about the reputation of the woman. She's inferior. According to this world they're living in. Look at this. Think about this now. This great apostle. But he's trying to work it through there. But because, see, he's been motivated by the world that he's in, even though he's receiving great revelation from God Almighty. So he wants to impact the world, but he don't know exactly who. Because you see, he never could think that slavery would be abolished. Now, he could do it in Christ. The slave is free. The master is free. He could say there's neither male nor female. He could say it in private. But, oh, he never thought that a woman could ever have authority like a man. That's still today. Some people call it a man's world. Is it? No. Let me say here, then I'm going to get into this. Most of the people were slaves, what were slaves? Tools of production. That's it. Jesus was not the poor man's friend. These are not points. I'm just telling you, I'm going to get into the points in a minute. Jesus was not the poor man's friend or the rich man's friend. He was the friend of man because he was the Son of Man. See, that's why the disciples couldn't figure out why would he talk to a woman at the well in Samaria. She's below him. She's inferior. You don't talk to her. In fact, you discuss nothing with your wife. You discuss it among men. Socrates one time said, if you were talking to someone, who do you tell more than anybody else? They said, we talk to other men. What he was trying to get them to understand was, you should be talking to your wife. But no one had the concept that a woman could be in politics, could vote. They were tools of production. Just like the slave. Oh, y'all are interested in it. Look at that. You know, so I thought I'd just give you some of my revelation here. That I love this. So I said all that. I'm going to run over it real quick. In the Roman world, you were either a citizen of Rome or a foreigner. And if you were a foreigner, you were an enemy. In the Greek world, you were artistic and philosophical, but everybody else was barbarians. In religion, there was the Jew, God's chosen people, children of Abraham. And the other side, Gentile dog, everybody Gentiles. All women were inferior. Most were slaves, tools of production, women and slaves. Because why? No one ever thought that slavery could be abolished. Yet God designed the church to abolish slavery. But they were nervous about it because they were afraid to cause a revolution. So they were trying to slide this stuff out. But what about the people that had to go through that? Jesus was not the poor man's friend. Notice how he ate with rich publicans and he walked with Pharisees and then he talked to women. Oh! He uplifted. He was not the rich man's friend. He was the friend of man or mankind because he was the Son of Man. Now, are you ready? The gospel of it, of no difference, or the gospel of democracy. I'm going to read verse 28 again. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Write this down. The democracy of the gospel has no distinctions. All differences in the gospel harmonize. In other words, when you have perfect harmony, it sounds like one voice in three different ways or eight different ways, depending on how many of you are going to do first soprano, second soprano. First alto, second alto. First tenor, second tenor. Baritone, bass. And when you harmonize correctly, you becomes one voice. So the democracy of the gospel, the gospel of no difference, has no distinctions. All differences harmonize, and all hearts become united. Which means, we shouldn't be having all this trouble we're having today. Because we've been equal for over 2,000 years because of in Christ, an heir. Completely equal in every area. But yet, why would this great apostle of authority would say, woman, when you come into church, cover your head and shut your mouth. Be silent. He knew there was neither male nor female. Paul made a mistake. Even though they were beating him up anyway, he should have pushed that out. But he did it in private circles. Aquila, Priscilla. He believed that. He didn't believe women were inferior. But when he got into the church, he actually did the same thing Peter did in reverse. Peter went with the Jews and Paul was studying publicly. But when he got around there, he said, okay, well, it is, but just in a different manner. So he wouldn't call a revolution. Because these rabbis were just freaking out because of the women that he would use. Remember, they would pray this prayer in the synagogue, oh God, thank you for not making me a woman. Isn't that the most insane thing you ever heard of? Do you see how free Jesus did, brought freedom to the world? You never see him putting down a woman. You never see him putting down a slave. You never see him putting down. He is a friend to all. Think about that for a minute. So the democracy or the gospel of no difference has no distinction. All differences harmonize and all hearts become united. Why is that? Write this down. We're made up of organic unity. We're made up of organic unity because we're one. Out of that unity comes favor, tenderness, discipline, training, and conformity. See, now when you understand that, you don't see Jew, Greek, slave, master, male, female, color. I'm gonna deal with that after a while. We are made up of organic unity. Out of that unity comes favor. Ooh, I love the favor of God. I call it the fog, favor of God. Tenderness. Gotta learn to be tender. Discipline, love in its purest form is discipline. Training, you got to be trained. And then out of all that comes conformity. You conform to an heir with the Father and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, when you understand that, that's walking in love in its purest form. You don't see difference. Why do you believe your wife can pastor this church? Because she's not a woman. She's not. I'm not a man. I'm an heir and a joint heir, which means authority and power is given the way God wants to do it. You still thinking first century Judaism? You have not progressed. Ooh, this is good. You see, let me say it again. We are made up of organic unity. Out of that unity comes favor. Oh, the favor of God. Tenderness, discipline, training, and conformity. Why is that? We are free people. We are free people and should be enjoying the confidence of our sonship. So when I talk, the most private things I talk to about is to Kathy, which in the first century world, oh, no, no, you don't do that. In fact, you don't even sit together. You got one on one side, one on the other side. There are some churches today that have two or three platforms and pulpits, but the woman cannot be at the top pulpit simply because she's a woman. See, we are free people and should be, write this down, we are free people and should be enjoying the confidence of our sonship. Now, people get mad at me because I enjoy the confidence of my sonship. I know in whom I have believed. So when I look at you and I don't see male or female, I don't see Jew or Greek, bond or free, I see an heir. Now, to give them credit, Paul never thought that a slavery would be abolished. So he tells Onesimus, he said, listen, you go, you know, y'all, listen, man, you know, be a good slave. Even though he didn't believe that. But he thought, but there's just no way. Be a good woman. Cover your head and shut your mouth. I'm your husband. Even though he didn't believe that. He did believe it, but he couldn't express it because of the environment. There's something else people don't seem to understand. God didn't tell Abraham to kill Isaac. You see, Abraham couldn't figure out why God would say, take your son, your only son, and offer him up for a sacrifice. He knew that was heathen. Or heathenistic, call it what you want. He knew that those like Dagon and all these crazy gods, they would burn their children as a sacrifice to them. But see, because of his environment in the Chaldees, or the Ur of the Chaldees, he's thinking, I got to kill Isaac. I got you. Now listen. No, God didn't tell him to kill him. He said, offer him. All I want you to do is offer him, not kill him, because there's a ram in the thicket here. Y'all understand what I'm saying? But because the way Abraham is raised, his environment motivates his mind. Just like Paul's, they never thought that slavery would be abolished. And it was not abolished till the 1800s. And yet some of it is still going on today in some countries. When God designed the church to make them stand up and say there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male or female. In other words, we're all one in Christ Jesus. Now that's equality at its best. You see, write this down. When you draw near to Christ, he brings you near to each other. So when you draw near to Christ, he brings you near to each other. That is Christianity at its best. See, Paul loved being around Aquila and Priscilla. And some of the women, I mean, it's amazing. Even today, women can go overseas and do the most phenomenal, fantastic works you've ever seen in the body of Christ. Yet they can't pastor. Why? They got the same, they're still first century Judaism. They're misunderstanding what God is saying here. If you neither male nor female, then you're not. If you eat a Jew, then if you want in Christ, that's it. There's no other, don't complicate that. You see. So what I do when I hear a woman preach instead of saying, why that woman trying to teach me something? I'm enjoying my sonship. I'm going to enjoy what she says because what she says is equal to what I say. It has nothing to do with her gender. It has nothing to do with that. None. Zero.
You're going to love our partner message. Fellowship is a necessary ingredient. You know, when Jesus saved you, he gave you a raw invitation for companionship. You were never designed to be alone. God created us to be a family, to come together in fellowship with him and one another. This uplifting teacher will bless you greatly. How do I get it? You just go to jdm.org and get your copy today.
Are you ready to walk in God's vision for your life and receive above all that you ask or think? In my new book, Create Your World and Walk in It, you'll learn how to have God's creative DNA flowing inside of you. And your connection to his power gives you the ability to create too. By using your faith voice and saying only what faith says, discover the power within you. And every promise on your heart comes to pass in your life. Create your world and walk in it. Get your copy today at jdm.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that today's message has built up your confidence as a child of God. It's very simple. No Christian is inferior to another. We are all spiritually equal. All of us are free in Christ, and we all should be enjoying the confidence of our sonship. I encourage you to watch this full message on our JDM app. It will bless you and minister greatly to you. Our product offer, my God, is my new book, Create Your World and Walk in It. This is powerful. Listen, God wants you to take authority over your life with his word. This book here, look at it, will teach you how to do that by using your faith voice, by only saying what faith says. Find out all the details to order your copy right here at jdm.org. our partners. Thank you for your faithful financial partnership to this ministry. God's been doing so many great and wonderful things. I got to say it again. I mean, I say it all the time. We have been debt-free since 1982. We've never had a financial deficit. We're celebrating 50 years of ministry. And what I always say, how did that happen? I trust you. You trust me. We both trust God. That's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for your faithful financial support. We got two projects right now that's going to cost $20 million. We believe in God for 20,000 people to give $1,000. And people, listen to me, it is coming in. And I mean, when it comes in, it'll be gone in about 4 weeks to knock out all that stuff. Reaching people, changing lives one soul at a time. It is such a blessing. Thank you for your faithful financial support. Nothing too small and nothing too big. God has been gracious to this ministry. We pray for you every day, not because you're a financial partner, because you're a Christian, and we love praying for our Christian family. Till next week, Jesse the Planner saying, I love you. I really do. See you again. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Jesse Duplantis Ministries is going into all the world with the message of Jesus for over 50 years, reaching people, changing lives, one soul at a time.
When you meet Jesus Christ as Lord, then all the world stuff is nothing but vanity, because you've got the greatest thing in the world, and that's eternal life.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm thankful for the gospel. I boldly proclaim. That's why we're spreading the gospel every place with every tool that we can through this ministry.
See Jesse Duplantis on his 2026 European Outreach. The 26th of August in the Netherlands. The 27th of August in Switzerland. The 28th of August in Bulgaria. The 29th and 30th of August in France. Jesse Duplantis 2026 European Outreach. The 26th to the 30th of August. For more information, go to jdm.org.
This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
Take it to the world. Take it everywhere. And let your light so shine.
Revival is not a feeling. Revival is a force. A force. And it doesn't have a dark side to it.
Thank you for watching today. For more information about Jesse Duplantis Ministries, go to jdm.org.